The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for Tuesday, December 16, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the energy market with Mike Barinski of Louis Dreyfus. In agricultural news, Tom Harkin will remain as chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee, and OPEC says demand for crude oil will fall by 1.4 million barrels a day in 2009. We'll have these and other stories this half hour, and Todd Gleason will report on USDA's decreasing role in agriculture. It's all on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
Tuesday afternoon, prices settled like this. In Kansas City, March wheat, 565 up 22. May, 576 up 22 and a quarter. At the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat, 544 up 24. May, 557 up 24 and a quarter. July, 569 and a half up 24. September, 591 up 24 and a half. March corn, 394 up 18 and three quarters. May, 405 and a quarter up 18 and three quarters. July, 416 and a quarter up 19. September, 427 up 19 and a quarter. December of 2009, 441 and a half up 19. January beans, 858 and a half up 12 and a half. March, 863 up 13 and a half. May, 874 and a half up 14 and a half. July, 885 up 15 and a quarter. Go out to November of 2009, 886 up 16. January of 2010, 893 up 16 and a half. January soybean meal, 261 up 420. January soybean oil, 31.35 up 80. December live cattle settled at 86.57 and a half up 242 and a half. January feeders, 91.12 and a half up $3. And February lean hogs, 62.45 down 12 and a half. And those are today's settlements in Kansas City and Chicago. Let's take a quick look at the outside markets. January crude oil trading at $44.60 up 9 cents. The February contract, $47.80 up 33. January ethanol settled there at $158.7, and that was up 4 cents. The February at $160 even up 8 cents. Natural gas for January at $5.75 and 4 tenths up 10 and 9 tenths. February, 5.78 and 4 tenths, up 10 and 9 tenths. The RBOB for January, 103.40, and it's down 29 hundredths. The heating oil for January at 145.60 is down 41 hundredths. Metals, silver contract for December, 10.64 and 4 is up 8.5 cents. The gold contract for February, the settlement there, $842.70, it's up $6.20. A winter weather advisory is in effect for Champaign, Christian, DeWitt, Logan, Macon, McLean, Piatt, Sangamon, and Vermilion counties until 12 midnight tonight, and for Ford, Iroquois, and Livingston counties until 6 a.m. tomorrow. The two-state forecast tonight looks like this from AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. He says, in the north, snow tapering to flurries overnight in central sections, snow, sleet, and freezing rain tapering to flurries and freezing drizzle overnight. In the south, a light wintry mix in some locations, lows ranging from 5 in far northwestern Illinois to 28 in the far south. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, with highs ranging from 15 in far northwestern Illinois to 38 degrees in far south central Indiana. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne. Hello, Wayne.
Dave, are you there? I'm still here.
Ah, there you are. Well, the Fed came out with their policy statement in the last hour or so. The Federal Open Market Committee decided to establish a target range for federal funds of 0 to 1/4%, and that probably reflects a reality that's been going on in the marketplace for the last month or so anyway. What's more interesting is the number of tools the Fed promises to use in the future if necessary to stimulate the economy.
Well, I guess that's all good if we can get the economy stimulated, Dave. We sort of wonder from bank to bank, why would you lend to another bank at 0%? The risk-reward ratio is pretty small. But all in all, that has knocked the dickens out of the dollar here today. We're down 154. We're back down around 81.50 on the dollar. And that's the reason we saw a Christmas present over in the corn and the bean market today, Dave. Up 18 to 19 in the corn and 13 to 15 in the beans. So that low dollar, that cheap dollar is hopefully helping exports as much as we're anticipating.
Where is the dollar going to go from here? I mean, we anticipated a move around 82 based on the head and shoulders top formation. You go two times the top to the neckline, that gets you to 82. Are we going to continue to show a declining dollar, which would be inflationary? Are we going to show something that would be higher that shows we're still in a deflation phase?
Well, it's hard to be inflationary in a recession. But yet, as you're talking, it seems like we could try to do both here for a while. And I don't know, Dave. It looks like we will probably continue the slide in the dollar the way that it looks like this. We hope that we'll see some stabilization so we don't get too inflationary at this point in time. But actually, slight inflation would be good for the economy.
Well, as we look at what happened on the technical charts in both corn and beans, the rally today essentially puts you up into some interesting areas. In the corn pit, for example, in the harvest month December, there is some congestion certainly in the 390 to 391 area, and that's a place that we've been kind of keeping an eye on. But as we go out and look into the lead month and go out a bit, we see that on my chart here. Oh, there we go, into the March composite. 412 is the congestion area. We're at 394 today. Then in the soybeans, if we go out into the lead month, into the January, there's congestion right around the $9 band. And, of course, today we're around 858.5. Are you thinking that the rallies that we're seeing have enough force to push through these congestion bands?
You know, I guess the better is the point. Can we push up to the top to the congestion bands first, Dave? We basically had been in somewhat of a trading range here, and this seemed to be the top end of our trading range in the March corn, and we seem to trade above by a couple 3 cents here. What we thought that might happen, the dollar shrinking in value and the way that we were looking at things, we would have been earlier in the day before the dollar started falling apart, we would have been sellers at this level in the corn. But we did pull our horns, our horns come out a little bit because they were a little bit bearish and just stood aside rather than not. Tomorrow being Tuesday, will this feel a little bit overdone and set back a little bit? We think that there will be buyers on breaks either tonight or tomorrow. There seems to be some money flowing into the pit to buy grains, a little different sort of attitude in the pit, a little bit of the inflationary attitude, and the idea of the energy czar, Carol Browner or whatever was appointed, has some feverish ideas towards ethanol or did during the Clinton era. So that, and with China being somewhat an aggressive buyer in the beans, cutting some of their VAT taxes and doing a few things along the way, the trend does seem to be sideways to up rather than sideways to down like it has been over the past couple weeks, Dave.
And, of course, it's been moving in line with the oil, except today has been a very strange day for crude oil. In fact, it's now, on my screen anyway, down below a short-term trend line that was that I drew beginning actually on the 5th of December, and we're showing 42.70, even though we've got OPEC saying a 2 million barrel cut perhaps tomorrow.
You know, and I think we factored that 2 million barrel cut in pretty much now. The Jan crude's trading, you know, a little over 44 right now as we speak, just down 38. So when you look at the dollar being down $1.71, just down 35 ticks in the crude, pretty unimpressive. But generally, we like to see, you know, we would think the crude would be 44 above as to help get to this level of the corn.
Do you think that the OPEC cut beyond tomorrow will do anything to stimulate?
The OPEC cut? Well, sure it will, Dave. I mean, there will be, you know, we won't see the build that we were looking, that could have possibly happened, that could have drove us down farther. Will it actually raise the price? That's yet to be mm-hmm. seen. You know, we've got some awfully cold weather out there now. Generally, we stimulate the energy prices during the cold weather blast during December and January here, and we're looking at a pretty cold blast if you looked at the five-day weather forecast.
Although people are beginning to change their transportation habits, it appears.
Transportation, yes, but we still heat our homes.
What else are you looking in the marketplace today, Wayne?
Well, I think that, you know, we looked, the wheat also responded quite well. We're still looking at some dry conditions down South America. And, you know, we still are talking a lot about Informa's possible planning projections and the way things are looking there. But and the idea that as we do look now, the DSO 9 corn up in the 440 bracket, you know, we get that up a little farther up. Why, then it makes it a little more economical to put some of this corn out at the lower fertilizer prices we're seeing out there now, Dave. So we are getting a little bump. You know, can we continue to get the bump now, or will it stabilize a little bit and then a little bump come after Inauguration Day? We're just not sure, but it sure is nice to get these prices back up and at least see a few smiling faces on our farmers out there.
Yeah, they're going to have to pay close attention, I think, to the marketplace in the short term to see if they can take advantage of this or not.
Like that. I know, you know, I missed a lot of this rally. I can't say if you listen to me that you've done good on that, but we did say be patient as far as pricing more corn for quite a while, and at least that's coming true.
Thank you much, Wayne.
Thanks, Dave.
Wayne Nelson, he is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In agricultural news, Iowa Senator Tom Harkin will remain as chairman of the Agriculture Committee when the Senate reorganizes in January. Two other members of the Agriculture Committee will be chairmen of other committees, according to a list unveiled by Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid. Max Baucus of Montana will return as chairman of the Finance Committee, and Kent Conrad will be chairman of the Budget Committee. Republicans will select their committee leaders later. In the House, Colin Peterson, Minnesota Democrat, will have another term as Agriculture Committee chairman. Oklahoma Representative Frank Lucas will be the Republican leader on the panel. OPEC, in its monthly report today, says demand for its crude is expected to fall by an average of 1.4 million barrels per day next year, with the first half of 2009 seeing an even steeper decline. Global oil demand is now expected to decline by an average of 150,000 barrels per day in 2009, to average 85.7 million barrels per day due to a marked slowdown in the world economy. The producer group also forecast non-OPEC supply would now grow by just 640,000 barrels per day in 2009. OPEC is widely expected to slash production by as much as 2 million barrels per day when it meets in Algeria tomorrow. U.S. consumer prices plunged at a record rate for a second straight month during November. The Labor Department said its closely watched consumer price index dropped 1.7% after falling 1% in October, back-to-back record drops since the department started keeping monthly data in 1947. Core prices that exclude food and energy items were flat in November after declining 0.1% in October. Economists had expected a 1.2% decline. Energy prices plunged 17% last month, double the 8.6% fall in October. French President Nicolas Sarkozy says the United States and others must match the European Union's commitment to make deep cuts in greenhouse gas emissions. Last week, Sarkozy chaired a meeting of the leaders of the 27-member bloc who agreed to cut their greenhouse gas emissions by 20% by the year 2020. Authorities in eastern China have killed more than 300,000 fowl after bird flu was discovered in chickens. The chickens tested positive for the H5N1 virus. The agriculture ministry did not say when the birds got sick, whether they had died from the virus, or how many were infected. H5N1 has prompted the slaughter of millions of birds across Asia since late 2003 and has caused the deaths of at least 246 people worldwide. The Australian Bureau of Agriculture and Resource Economics says the value of Australian wheat exports will surge this fiscal year, ending June 30th of 2009, reflecting increased production and a weaker currency. Wheat exports this fiscal year are forecast at 10.6 million metric tons, compared with shipments of 7.4 million tons last fiscal year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
When it comes to agricultural policy, USDA is fast becoming just one of many governmental institutions having a direct impact on the nation's farmers. Todd Gleason has more.
When most people think of USDA or the federal legislation that funds it, commonly called the Farm Bill, they usually think about farm subsidies, says Bob Thompson. That's what he told a room full of interested students, professors, and a few farmers on the University of Illinois campus in early December. But the reality, says the ag policy expert, is that more than half of USDA budget outlays are spent on nutrition programs. He says that was the case in the 2002 Farm Bill, and even more so in the 2008 version of the legislation.
62% of all spending of U.S. Department of Agriculture was for food and nutrition programs, principally the food stamp program, WIC, school lunch program, and several other feeding programs. In the new Farm Bill, it's 68%, and I will bet you by the time it's fully implemented in this current economic crisis situation in this country with rising unemployment, food stamps will be one of the principal federal programs for economic assistance to unemployed Americans during this economic downturn.
Consequently, the U of I's Thompson expects the 68% figure to grow substantially from that budgeted allotment before the Food Conservation and Energy Act of 2008 expires. You'll note that the words farm or ag weren't even in the name of the last farm bill. There may be a good budgetary reason for that. Those farm subsidies everyone associates with the bill were more than halved from 2002 to 2008.
In the 2002 Farm Bill, the commodity programs, that is the subsidy programs, were 23% of the total spending of the Department of Agriculture, and other things took 15%. In the new Farm Bill, commodity programs are down to 11%.
That's right. Just 11% of the USDA expenditures are categorized as farm subsidies. It means, says Thompson, that many agencies will have fingers on U.S. agriculture in the future. These include U.S. EPA, Department of the Interior, Office of the United States Trade Representative, Department of Energy, Department of Commerce, State Department, USAID, Department of Defense, National Security Council, Health and Human Services, Homeland Security, FDA, and the OMB, the Office of Management and Budget. It's what Thompson calls the 800-pound gorilla in Washington that influences everybody's life. The point here is that agriculture is no longer consolidated in one agency, but remains a vital component of nearly all the easily recognizable U.S. bureaucratic institutions. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with our weekly energy segment is Mike Barwinski of Louis-Dreyfus. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon.
Lots to get to today. Let's begin with OPEC, which tomorrow appears to be ready to lower its oil output by 2 million barrels per day when it has its meeting in Algeria. And today, the marketplace, if you look at the futures, it was a little odd. There's a short-term trend line that I've drew off of the December 5 contract, and we actually went under it today.
Yeah, you know, OPEC has continued to meet and continue to try to cut down production to help stave off this downward rally that they've seen, and it really hasn't had much of an effect on both the psychology of the market or on, you know, really the supply and demand factors. People are just simply driving a lot less.
But it is cold. I mean, we're into the winter season. Shouldn't the heating part of the equation equate to a stimulated demand and then higher crude oil prices?
Yeah, you should see a little bit of a seasonal effect to crude oil and, in turn, you know, nat gas and heating oil prices. But I think to a certain extent, a lot of that is probably priced into a forward curve. No, this winter's not at least scheduled to be colder than normal, or there's not any major, you know, anomalies that are set to happen this winter. So you're really not too much of a surprise there.
So where do oil futures end up in about 30 days in your best guess?
I know I can't. I think at the start of the new year, there's going to be a lot of change going on. You know, a lot of pension plans, a lot of hedge funds will start reinvesting in their new strategies. That either depending on, you know, whether they're going to buy more crude at these levels or they're going to sell more. The last 2 weeks in the month here, and I think the last month in general, you haven't seen much going on simply because people don't want to do too much before the end of the year. I think there could be a big change from where crude oil prices to go. I wouldn't say they're going to go much lower, though.
The other interesting thing to me to talk about is that last week USDA lowered its corn crush for ethanol by 300 million bushels. But if you look at an RBOB ethanol chart, you see that today that your ethanol is at 158 and 7/10 on the futures, while the RBOB's at 104. And I continue to ask, why would ethanol producers produce?
Well, yeah, there's still, you know, a lot of forward book contracts. So till the end of the year, there's still enough production that's contracted with a lot of end users, a lot of big gasoline refiners to help meet that supply coming from the ethanol producers. So really today, most plants that are still operating, you know, aside from the ones that shut down or went into bankruptcy, for the most part, they've hedged in all of their corn purchases and all their ethanol sales. So really they're just kind of operating through the end of the year, and everyone's kind of waiting for bated breath for to see what happens at the start of the new year.
Okay. Thank you much.
All right. No, absolutely. Thank you.
That's Mike Barwinski of Louis-Dreyfus. In just 2 minutes, we'll have our look at the agricultural weather. It's National Chocolate Covered Anything Day. It's also Eat What You Want Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1773, American colonists revolted against the British government. Dressing up as Native Americans and armed with small hatchets and clubs, they boarded the Dartmouth and Beaver and Eleanor. From the ship holds, they dumped over 90,000 pounds of tea overboard, an event that would become to be known as the Boston Tea Party. tea washed up on the shores around Boston for weeks. In 1833, Seaman Ashiel Knapp was born. An American agriculturalist, he began the system which evolved into the U.S. Cooperative Extension Service. He introduced improved methods of farming into Louisiana, spurred the development of rice culture in the Southwest, demonstrated methods for curbing the boll weevil in Texas, and inaugurated a federal program of farm demonstrations throughout the South. Knapp's legacy was to bring progressive agricultural methods to the American farmer. In 1863, Gerald Heineken purchased the Amsterdam brewery, the Haystack, which dated back to 1592. This was the beginning of Heineken beer. In 1884, William Fruin of Minneapolis, Minnesota, patented an automatic liquid vending machine. And in 1990, Harland Sanders died at Shelbyville, Kentucky. He is best known as the founder of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And that's this day in agricultural history. Listening to the Closing Market Report, this is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
It looks to me, as I look at the maps for South America, that just perhaps we're in line for some widespread weekend showers in Argentina.
Yeah, it is certainly looking that way. The weather pattern the last couple of weeks has picked up in terms of rainfall in South America and Argentina and portions of Brazil this weekend, and even a little bit beyond that, favorable pattern for occasional precipitation down there. And they need it, especially in Argentina. They've been a little bit on the dry side. And when you look at temperatures, well, as sometimes is reflected with temperatures, when you get into a little bit of a cooler, wetter pattern, temperatures are going to be at or a little bit below normal down there. But it looks like favorable conditions to bring them some needed moisture.
And then after that, it dries out again?
Dries out again a little bit, but they've got another trough that's behind that that may bring in some moisture a little rounder just after Christmas.
Turn your attention then to Brazil, where it looks to me like parts are in line for some showers,
yes,
but it's quite variable maybe.
It is variable, and that's going to happen with sort of the clusters of thunderstorms that they're going to see in parts of Brazil. And as you mentioned, it's going to be spotty. There's going to be some areas that do real well, especially the southern and east-central areas of Brazil getting some rain. Although, if you average out the chances of rain in Brazil over the next week, chances are pretty good for most areas. But there'll be some big winners with rain and a few losers as well.
Maybe the best rain over the next 10 days, central and northeastern Brazil.
That's right. And that's where the most active frontal boundary and the weather, the storm tracks are going to be.
Let's turn your attention then to here in the States, where snow, sleet, freezing rain, pick one. It looks like the mixture is everywhere and everything at the moment.
Yeah, and we've got a very active weather pattern that's going to be affecting the entire country. The only part of the U.S. that really is not going to be plagued by some nasty winter weather between now and Christmas and even all the way up to New Year's is going to be the southeast United States, the Gulf Coast. They're going to be under some high pressure while the rest of the country will be susceptible to cold air intrusions out of Canada and a very active storm track coming across the Pacific. There will be a storm system about every two or three days traversing the country, and especially the Midwest, the Great Lakes, the Rockies, and the Northern Plains states, all the way to the California coast, will have occasionally stormy weather, and it's going to be mostly rain. You got to go further south into the southern Appalachians and the mid-Atlantic coast before it'll likely be warm enough that it's going to be mostly rain, or a mixture of ice and snow. So we're going to have quite a bit of winter weather, which unfortunately, during the big holiday travel plans coming on up, that period of time, it's going to be causing some headaches.
For the U.S. hard red winter wheat belt, we're looking to hopefully see some snow cover soon in western Kansas, eastern Colorado, and southwestern Nebraska.
Yeah, they could really use it. They also were exposed to some very, very cold temperatures this weekend. Parts of eastern Colorado, 25 degrees below zero. Now, thankfully, there was a thin, not very significant, but a thin layer of snow with that that hopefully added some protection. But I tell you, there's one area, and that's that hard winter wheat area, where the storms tend to be skipping over. They're getting some weather, just not a lot of precipitation. And right now, I'd have to say, while precipitation is possible in the hard winter wheat areas, it's going to be of the light variety.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and that's today's closing market report. This is Dave Dickey.